episode, our next episode of Mystify, God's Saltiest Women, a podcast in which we discover, discern, and explore our foremothers in the faith who were women who stood their ground and listened to their heart and to God's spirit in their life and did not listen to the people around them.
I thought you were going to say discuss.
Oh, discuss is another great one. I love that.
Thank you.
Discuss, discover, discern. I love that. I love the alliteration. Yes. Very fun. I'm Pastor Rachel.
I'm Gail Miller.
And this is our final episode for this season.
I know.
Which is wild.
It's comforting, but it's also, like, bittersweet.
I know. I will say, spoiler alert, we already have a list of people, of women that we want to explore next year. So we will be coming back next year.
Yes, we will.
With another Lenten time / Women's History Month limited podcast of more women to talk about. But before we get into next year,
yeah,
let's
talk
about...
Hold your horses for 12 months.
That's right. Just sit and wait.
Yeah.
But it's like when your favorite author comes out with just like two books in a trilogy and you have to wait for the next one.
Yes.
We'll be coming back. Anyways, so before we jump ahead to next year, we still have today's saint. And yay. I'm very excited to talk about this woman. She's an author and a rabble-rouser in the best way, and was someone who grew to fame because of the path that God laid in front of her.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a rabble-rouser?
Rabble-rouser is someone who just, like, doesn't take crap from people.
Oh.
Or like, hey, you know what? This is wrong. We shouldn't be doing it this way anymore.
Like,
we should be doing things.
Like, rebellious.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And she did it out of just the most inspiring intentions, and it all was couched in her willingness to believe in the face of doubt. So,
pretty impressive.
Very impressive. So,
yeah.
The woman we're talking about today is Rachel Held Evans.
Okay.
And she was born in 1981 and grew up in the evangelical tradition. So, that was sort of the world, the ocean she was swimming in, was the evangelical world.
Okay.
And as she's growing into adulthood, as she's maturing in both her incredibly massive brain, but also just deepening her own faith practices and everything.
Spiritually and intellectually.
Exactly. Thank you. You said that
you're
much
welcome.
More eloquently than I could have.
I don't know how I came up with that.
So she as she's growing up and maturing, she gets all of these degrees and she goes to all of these different wonderful institutions of education and is coming to the realization that her faith is not nearly as strong as the people around her telling it her it should be. She has doubts. She has days when it's hard to pray. She has whole chapters of her life where it was hard to see God walking with her, and her faith is just totally shaken by this. So she starts exploring this and writes a couple books. She writes one called Evolving in Monkey Town, which is kind of like an insider joke about her hometown. There was all this stuff about these trials and some litigations and stuff around some monkey something.
Huh.
Someone look that up and quote me on that, because I don't remember
Evolving
in Monkey Town as well. I have never actually read that book. But she then goes on to read a book that I have read called A Year of Biblical Womanhood, where she's living in this world where everything is very literal. Everything is very to the T, very rigid. And so she says, well, but we can't live as rigidly as scripture tells us. And the people and her faith leaders are saying, no, we have to.
That's how it's always been.
Right. So she writes this book as kind of like a, see how ridiculous it is? We can't live a year as a biblical woman because this is what it means. And so she finds every rule that pertains to women identifying folk, and she lives by those rules for a year. So, like, not wearing mixed clothing, not like, always listening to her husband.
And what era is this?
She was born in 1981. So she did this kind of as a experiment, kind of as a joke, kind of as, like, a, yeah. Yeah.
That is, like, what, BC level rules in the modern day society? Correct. How Correct. Do you get by today without, like, right. mixing your types of, like, cloth and right. stuff?
It was a fascinating book. So she, in this, realizes that it, throughout all of her writing, but this is a couple of them, she realizes that it's really okay to have doubts. So then she writes this book called Faith Unraveled mm-hmm. and talks even more. So anyway, so she...
So what I'm hearing is she's not an author.
No, she is an author.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I saw your smile. I should have known. Yes. She's not an author. Wink, wink, wink. Wink, no, wink. She's definitely... So anyway...
She's never picked up a pen before.
Never. She's never had, you know, an original thought in right. her life.
Right.
Hashtag
yeah.
sarcasm. So she, in 2014, all of this kind of comes to a head, and in 2014, she finally decides to leave evangelicalism. Mm-hmm. And so she writes a blog post called What Now? So she rises to some fame within evangelical circles because she's writing all these books, and she's, you know, getting all these book deals and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So when she decides to leave that culture and that world, it causes a big stir. And so people are kind of like, what are you going to do now? Are you going to start your own church? Are you going to start, like, a break-off movement? Mm-hmm. Are you, like, what's your next move?
Are you going to become a Satanist? Right. Is probably yeah. one of them.
It might have been some of yeah. them thinking, right? Are you just going to, like, go off and join those weirdos who live in the woods or whatever? Yeah. You know, there was some, there's definitely
Even
some
though that. I'm pretty sure there are, like, biblical characters who, like, actually lived in the woods,
oh,
right?
Yeah. John yeah. the Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
So anyway, so in 2014, in response to all these questions, she writes a blog post, and it's titled, What Now? And so part of the reason I so love Rachel Held Evans mm-hmm. is because of her writing. So I wanted this podcast, this specific episode, to draw a lot from her words specifically. So I'm going to read a big chunk from her blog post.
Wash over me, bae. Now tell right. me, That's tell me right. everything.
So this was published in 2014. It's from her blog post, What Now? And you can find it on her website. Mm-hmm. So these are her words. Rather than wearing out my voice and calling for an end to evangelicalism's culture wars, I think it's time to focus on finding and creating church among its many refugees. Women called to ministry, our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, science lovers, doubters, dreamers, misfits, abuse survivors, those who refuse to choose between their intellectual integrity and their faith, or their compassion and their religion, those who have, for whatever reason, been farewelled. Instead of fighting for a seat at the evangelical table, I want to prepare tables in the wilderness, where everyone is welcome, and where we can go on discussing and debating the Bible, science, sexuality, gender, racial reconciliation, justice, church, and faith, but without labels, without wars. I want this little online community to be like Kathy Escobar's beautiful church in Denver, The Refuge, where everyone is safe, but no one is comfortable. I want it to be a place where we can tell our stories, confess our sins, discuss scripture, ask questions, disagree with grace, grieve, heal, create, follow Jesus, and rally together to do justice and love mercy, not just with our words, but with our actions. I want it to be a community that partners with people and organizations serving those on the margins. I want it to be a community led by people like Jeff Chu, Ben Moberg, and Christina Cleveland, who exhibited more grace and patience last week than I knew was possible. These are friends of hers who were kind of reacting to the news that she was leaving this community. Mm. I want it to feature and celebrate the voices of those speaking prophetically from the margins. I want us to continue to advocate for the least of these. I want this community to be a place where the churched and unchurched, Republicans and Democrats, American citizens and people from around the world can come together to dream big dreams for the future. I want it to be a place where those who are tired and worn out from religion can find rest. Not more fighting, not more judgment, just rest and peace for weary souls. I want us to be a community where we learn the unforced rhythms of grace together. And then she finishes the blog post with this. Mm-hmm. Our God is in the business of bringing dead things back to life. So if we want in on God's business, we better prepare to follow God to all the rock bottom, scorched earth, dead on arrival corners of this world, including those in our own hearts, because that's where God works. That's where God gardens. There's no ladder to holiness to climb, no self-improvement plan to follow. It's just death and resurrection over and over again, day after day, as God reaches down into our deepest graves and with the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, wrests us from our pride, our apathy, our fear, our prejudice, our anger, our hurt, and our despair.
That was delicious. That was delectable.
When you said wash over me, I was like, oh, just wait.
Just you have no idea. I'm very glad I got to hear you read that, though. Like, hear it in your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
That was kind of you.
I feel like if I read it on a screen, it would hit hard, but it wouldn't hit as hard as, like, hearing another person, especially one that I look up to, reading it to me.
Oh, thanks, Gail. You're welcome. That's so cute. That's so nice of you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. And I think that's why I love her work and so much of what she strives to do. I was just listening to a podcast about her on the way over.
Haha.
And her, I know, Inception. Ironic. I know, podcast Inception. And this is not a plug, but it is a plug if you are looking for something to listen to, listeners, after you listen to this episode, obviously. Go listen to On Being's podcast and the episode that their host, Krista Tippett, does with Rachel Held Evans' good friend, Jeff Chu, who was mentioned in the words I just read.
Yeah.
He does a whole episode about Rachel, and then it's done in a beautiful way. So anyways, I was listening to that, and something that Jeff Chu was mentioning was that as much as she was a writer, as much as she was someone who had this great vision about what we could be, her vision never included ego. It always included friendship. So it was always about
the other, not yourself.
Exactly, which is why I so love what you were saying about how impactful it is hearing her words spoken and not just read.
Right.
Because spoken word involves relationship. Mm-hmm. This, right now, even though we're recording it, even though it's recorded in a way so it's not forever going to be improv.
Right.
But this is relationship. And I think that that's what I've really loved about her work. Is that focus on relationship and not just we're doing this so that we can feel good and so that we can be good. We're doing this because it brings life and it fosters relationship with the people specifically that the church has ostracized and says you're not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
her words are
has some pretty immaculate, exquisite vocabulary.
Absolutely.
Like, she said there was something about, like, deforesting grace or something like
that.
It
was...
Something like that. It caught my attention.
Yeah. Where was that? That was... Well, I'm not going to find it now, but disagree. No. Disagree with grace. Mm. So that, like, you and I can disagree, but we do it with grace. Mm-hmm. We do it gracefully. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah. So, Rachel leaves the evangelical world, and,
She dips,
and she dips with some friends, and, as all good dipping should be done.
Yes.
And, she starts this small community, kind of what she's discussing here, and it starts off in 2014, and it starts as a group of friends who are meeting, and then it grows into a podcast. And then it grows into this annual conference called Evolving Faith, where people gather from all over and talk about what it means to have evolving faith. She also co-ran, when was this? I think it was 2016, and they might have done it more times beyond, but I know it did happen in 2016. She co-led another conference with a Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Nadia Boltz Weber. And Pastor Nadia Boltz Weber has grown to some fame in the Lutheran circles as doing similar things.
So basically your bestie.
I mean, she's pretty great. She could be someone we do next.
Oh, okay.
Next year.
I just meant that as a joke because you're Lutheran and
Oh my gosh. I mean, yes.
Like how most kids assume that like all adults know each other.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Actually, I have met her a couple of times.
Really? Oh! But Maybe I am right.
Maybe you are right. But I've never got to meet Rachel. So, but anyways, in 2016, Pastor Nadia and Rachel got together and held a conference called Why Christian? Mm-hmm. And it was basically all of these people getting together and saying, this story still matters. This way of looking at the world still matters.
This perspective still matters.
Exactly. And so that is going on in 2016. There's also the Evolving Faith Conference that's going on. So I wanted to read a little bit about the... Evolving Faith Conference, I'm not sure how many times they've held it, but they held it a couple of times.
It's so weird to think about, like, how I was alive for this.
I know.
Like, I was...
I know.
I was a breathing human being when this was going on.
Correct, yeah.
Because most of the women we've talked about are, like, from at least 400 years ago.
Right. So, I love it. So, the first three we did were super... Or the first four?
Yeah.
The first four we did were at least 100 years ago. Then last week we had Lema Bowie, who was more active in, like, the 80s and 90s.
And now we're super duper modern.
And now, so it's kind of, like, super modern. So Lema Bowie is still alive. So, like, last week's saint is still alive. This week's saint has unfortunately passed on. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But was alive when we were both alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's
no
wild.
Offense.
No, it's wild to just think about, like... There are so many women within our tapestry and our
I love the word tapestry.
Family tree.
I know.
Me too. Like, our faith family tree is this whole tapestry of different voices. So, her blog post, which I read before, or at least a segment of it, evolves into this conference called Evolving Faith. So, I want to read the, sort of the blurb that's right on their website when you first go to their website, because I think it... perfectly encapsulates everything that the blog post was talking about.
Okay, propaganda,
so,
hit me.
I know, exactly. So, here it is. Just says, welcome home, wanderer. Welcome home, questioner and doubter. Question asker, status quo upender. Church kid, Bible nerd, rebel. Yes, you. You wanderer, spiritual refugee, weary one. Idolistic, cynic, and disappointed disciple. Hello. We see you.
She has a way with the words.
I know. And so at this point now, these words are coming more from the Evolving Faith team, that's, but she is very influential in that.
Right.
So Evolving Faith, this is about, in their About section, Evolving Faith exists to cultivate love and hope in the wilderness, pointing fellow wanderers and misfits to God, as we embody resurrection for the sake of the world. And that quote alone is part of the reason why I wanted to do her today, since we're recording this for Good Friday. It will be released on Good Friday, the day in which the Christian world pauses and remembers the death of Jesus and what that means in our lives and why our lives are changed because of him and because of that death. And what I think Rachel really embodied and what this Evolving Faith team and community really embodies is the idea of all of those things that keep us from one another, all of those things that mean that we believe there are outsiders and insiders, all of those things that keep us separate, also died that night with Jesus.
That's a great...
Yeah.
What is this? What is this woman consuming? I want some of it.
Oh, I know. So I'm gonna read just a few more of her the values from this Evolving Faith because I just think they're beautiful, and then
they are beautiful.
It's just want to keep reading. I know.
I want to be inside of her brain so that I can take all the neural pathways that influence her writing and just take them, borrow them.
I know. I feel it so deeply.
I know.
So these are the values of the Evolving Faith community.
Okay,
we envision a community where the thirsty become water bearers, the hungry become bread makers, the wounded are our healers, the misfits become friends, and the wanderers find a home. We gather the misfits, the wanderers, the curious, the questioning, the spiritual refugees, and together we create a feast in the wilderness. We believe gathering requires mutual hospitality. We belong together in grace and in love. We listen to God, to one another, and to the world. And we hope in God, in resurrection, and for our evolution to be a story that matters in the world.
Again, what is this woman on? Is she taking?
I know. So one of my favorite things that I just learned in that podcast that I mentioned earlier that I was listening to was that when she passed away, actually, let's tell that part of that story.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you should talk to me about that first.
Yeah, I mentioned that a couple of times. So Rachel unfortunately passed away very suddenly in 2019, just before COVID hit, at the age of 37.
That's young!
I know, due to complications from the flu. So she had, like, developed an infection and went in and had to be placed in a medical-induced coma. And it just got worse and worse, and she passed away really unexpectedly and really quickly. So this evolving faith community, this community that she's been working on and nurturing and growing with all these other people, have now done it in part in memory of her. And
keeping her image alive.
Yeah, exactly. And making sure that she stays, that her vision stays. And I think that that's something I'm really grateful for to her, is her willingness to start a thing, to start forming this community, even without being able to see it all the way through to whatever her dream might have been.
Sometimes the hardest part in a project is figuring out where you want to start.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So in all of the outpouring on social media and online after she passed, one of the comments that was made by Bishop Michael Curry, and he is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church here in America. So he is, we have our own presiding bishop. Her name is Bishop Elizabeth Eaton. So they're co-bishops, co-workers, as much as, you know, presidents of two different organizations would be. They are, yeah. So Bishop Michael Curry is the head of the Episcopal Church here in America.
And what's the difference between Lutheran and Episcopal?
Yeah. Oh, great question. We could do a whole podcast about that.
Oh, no.
No,
never
it's
mind.
All good, though.
Never mind.
We love the Episcopalians. They're great.
Okay.
So I would say some of the biggest... There's a lot of differences culturally.
Okay.
Their worship tends to be a lot more high church. Do you know what I mean when I say high church?
Like classy? Elegant?
Very much so.
Okay.
So high church tends to be those folks who are very focused in on and have deep meaning around, like, the same prayers we've always said and the same songs that are always sung on these days. The beauty of tradition and honoring those types of things, that tends to be high church. So
the familiar things.
Kind of.
Okay.
And also just the, like, high church tends to be more, there's a lot more Latin, I will say that.
Oh my.
Which is very fun. But it also tends to be a lot more formulaic, as in there's, like, a way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Low church, which I don't always love the, like,
High and low
statement. Right.
Yeah.
The value there is weird, but these are the terms that are used within the church. So low church would be, like, the extreme of low church is doing worship at camp, and it's, like, a couple of songs and some conversation, and then we move on or do something different. So it's not as formulaic. It's not as laid out. So
there isn't a set recipe to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so so this is so a tangent, and the Episcopalian flavor of Christianity first came out of England and the Church of England, and then they came over here. And so Episcopalian is the Americanized version of the Church of England, and this is vastly simplifying it to the point of maybe being incorrect. But
right, yeah, okay,
that's the so. Episcopalian has its roots in Church of England. Lutheranism has its roots in German understandings of the Reformation. And mm-hmm. so then they both kind of come over here and they're very similar. The Episcopalians, socially, we agree on a lot. So we're in full communion with the Episcopalians, which means that I, as a Lutheran pastor, could serve an Episcopal diocese, an Episcopal congregation.
Mm-hmm.
We, as a Lutheran church, could call an Episcopal pastor. They're called priests. We could call an Episcopal priest to mm-hmm. be our pastor. So we're in full relationship with them. We love them.
So basically, like, the Episcopalians are kind of our wifey.
Kind of.
Okay.
Maybe more like BFF.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not marriage, just, like, right. strong friendship.
Strong
okay.
friendship, exactly.
Our besties.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, the reason this all matters is that when Rachel Held Evans leaves the evangelical world,
yeah.
she becomes Episcopalian, like, through her journey, she becomes Episcopalian. So the reason that Bishop Michael Curry, the head of the Episcopal Church, is talking about her is because she was part of his church.
One of us.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So when she dies, Bishop Michael Curry has this to say about her. He said, she helped mainline Christians stop being afraid of Jesus, and she helped evangelicals know the love of God. Something that she brought with her from her evangelical culture was a strong understanding of Scripture. That's mm-hmm. really big in evangelical circles, is you know your Bible, and she right. knew her Bible.
Yeah.
So she brought that, a great passion for everything that's there, and all the complications that are there, and all mm-hmm. of the humanness that is there in the sacredness. And leaving also left her with some space to start saying, it's not all law. There's love here, too. It's not just the rules we have to follow mm-hmm. in order to get into heaven. There's also love. And so being able to walk that means that she was able to bring that, like, great deep relationship with Jesus
mm-hmm.
to those who sometimes are afraid of it, but was also able to say, hey, you guys, there's more here than just the law.
She switched the perspective from, like, less of a government kind of thing
yes.
to more of, like, a love letter kind
yes.
of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
She switched from less top-down and more grassroots. Would be another way of looking at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, another way to look at it.
Okay.
So, that's Rachel Held Evans.
Wow.
In, like, the shortest amount of time I could possibly spend on her. There's
with,
so
like, seven
more.
Tangents in between. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, listeners.
No, yeah, exactly. You came along on a journey,
yeah.
which is always the case. So,
there's going to be winding roads.
Exactly. So, I've read a bunch of her work, and so, like I've said, she passed away in the midst of writing a book. And so her friend Jeff Chu, part of the reason he was on the podcast I was listening to, part of the reason he's been a part, they were very, very close friends. He actually finished the book on her behalf. And so it's mm-hmm. like co-authored by them, and it's called Wholehearted Faith. And that's one I haven't read yet, but.
Was that title picked out by her, or was it picked out by him?
I don't know. So I'm curious to read it and find out.
Someone needs to Google that for us.
Yeah, exactly. Let us know in the comments or however you're watching this. Email me. I don't know. It's just some of the excerpts I was hearing in this podcast have me just wanting to read this book. So let's transition into the things that we're grateful for from
okay.
her. And the reason I started talking about all her books is because I'm just so grateful for her heart and her mind and how they worked together.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly her mind was on fire with words
yes.
and ways of looking at the world. And I think that was all, it feels so human because she also had such a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just like, here, let me get my brain smarts out on the table, which were so amazing and so impressive. It was also,
right.
let me get my heart out on the table.
Yeah.
And I think the combination of the two makes her really human.
She brought her humanity into her humanness.
Exactly. Absolutely. And wasn't afraid to doubt, and wasn't afraid to follow her doubt. And through that, figured out that doubt was actually a way for her to deepen her faith because
mm-hmm.
she followed the questions, and the questions led to this whole community that was built out of some of her faith identity having to die.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to be grateful for from her.
Yeah. But
that's my first thought. How about you? Do you have anything you're grateful for from Rachel? I should say from Rachel Held Evans. It's
yeah.
not from me.
Every time you say it from Rachel, I'm like, why are you referring to yourself in the third person?
From Rachel Held Evans. I want to be her when I grow up, and I already have her. We already share a name, so
yeah,
I'm already
you're there. Halfway there.
I'm halfway there.
Well, okay, first of all, the fact that she was not afraid to doubt, because I have been doubting ever since I came to church for the first time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until recently, like a couple months ago, that I was able to find, like, an idea or a perspective of the church that works with me.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's, like, very alienating when everyone around you is, how do I want to... preaching the same tunes, and you're hearing a different song. So seeing her do that and get successful results makes me feel a lot better about the results that I have gotten.
Yeah.
And also just her words.
Yeah.
Like, they are the most scrumptious, delectable. I want to consume them every day.
Yeah.
If she had, like, a ringtone or, like, an alarm that I could put into my phone and wake up to every single morning, you best believe I would be on it.
Yeah.
She has such a way with words. Her voice. I'm not going to say voice because I don't know what she sounds like.
Yeah.
But
her written voice.
Her written voice is so charming and so welcoming, and so she's very sure of herself.
Yeah.
She's very confident in what she believes in, and that's also very, like, I'm not gonna say attractive, because I don't know this woman. It's
inspiring.
It's very, like, it draws me to her. It makes me want to listen to her more.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. And I think, like, any great visionary, any great author or any great artist, you're drawn to her. I'm drawn to her as a person, but also I'm drawn to the thing that she's trying to describe, that she's trying to achieve. So, like, I love when artists are in the midst of creating and you get to see that, or maybe you are that and you get to, like, experience that yourself. That's so beautiful. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That itself is so beautiful. And then once you're done creating it, we're never done creating, but, like, once that piece
that
is released.
That one project. Yeah.
Yeah. Once that piece is released into the world, it takes on a life of its own, because then everyone who's coming to it, interacting with it, continues to create with it.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's a painting, the creation process that now happens, there's no more paint going on the canvas, but it continues to have a life anytime someone comes to it and says, wow, that's making me think of this. Wow, that's inspiring this.
Yeah.
And I love that her work, even though she's no longer alive to add more paint to the canvas, her work is still bringing people in, is still saying, this is the vision. Point that way, look that way.
Her painting is her books and 100%. Her conferences that she makes. 100%. And it, like you said, it draws people in from around the world. Those are the people who are co-creating with her.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, especially because she's no longer with us.
Yeah.
And the fact that she is still managing to do that, even from wherever she is now.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
Very impressive. Yeah. So, big thanks to Rachel Held Evans Witness. I'm saying words out of order. My tongue is all over the place today.
Okay.
But to Rachel Held Evans Witness and her willingness to enter into wilderness.
That was... I think she's rubbing off on you.
Oh wait, I have to say that again because I'm going to use it in a sermon. Her witness and willingness to enter into wilderness.
And wanderingness.
And wanderingness.
I don't think that's a word, but I just tried.
It's becoming one now. Yeah. It is. We'll call up Webster, whoever he is, and we'll add it to the dictionary.
Merriam-Webster.
Exactly. Whoever sits on that council now. Hey, we've got a word for you. Anyways. That's Rachel Held Evans.
Yeah, and that's our last episode for the year.
I know. So, instead of sending us off with a reminder to go and do your own homework, I want to send us off with some encouragement to do your own homework about Rachel Held Evans. I'm not saying don't do that.
Please.
I'm also saying please read her books. I have three of them in my own library. Anyone's welcome to come and borrow them. We need more. Right.
And also provide some if you'd like.
Yeah, also, if you have some at home, like, let's share. But the thing I want to leave us with this episode is, who in your faith journey has served to be someone who deserves to be on this podcast? Whether it's someone you've never met because they're a historical figure, whether it's someone in your own community. And when you have that name, email it to me at PastorRachel@gotgrace.com. It's PastorRachel@gotgrace.com, all lowercase. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Gail and I have people that we have in our mind about who we want to hear from next year. Mm-hmm. And I think this could be really meaningful if y'all are sending some ideas in about who you would want to sit in conversation around. So please send, you have a year. You've got plenty of time. Send
those ideas. That's 12 months.
That's right. Send those ideas our way so that we can be sharing, so that this becomes a full community effort. I think that's the other thing I'm inspired by from Rachel Held Evans. These community efforts and not just the work of the few. So that's what I'm going to leave us with this episode.
Oh my gosh.
The work is not done.
And this season.
The work is just beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it may be over, but it is still a new chapter.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you're listening to this on Good Friday, a blessed Good Friday to you. If you're listening to it at other parts during Holy Week, may this episode, may this podcast bless your journey. And if you're listening to this outside of Holy Week or in the weeks and days beyond, may it continue to bless you and hold you. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Bye!